and principal collaborators with Western business interests are busy right now. Please wait until the regime has had time to consolidate its power and try your call again.
And it's just about 10 o'clock, which means it's time once again for Off the Hook. And a very good evening to one and all. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook. We're with you for an hour every Wednesday night talking about high technology and all the fun things that go with it. Sometimes the not-so-fun things, sometimes the side effects, but always something a little bit interesting. So if you stay with us over the next hour or so, I'm sure you'll learn something. Yeah. We have some news reports of things going on around the world, as always. There's always something going on with computers and telephones and things like that. We'll be taking phone calls. We've got Fiber Optic here with us, still out of the nasty place that they're sending him away to, which we'll talk about as well. Well, off the Risks Digest this week, this is something concerning phobia or misconceptions. There was an alleged incident at Reading University in England where a student used a laptop computer in an exam. The exam in question was open book, but the rules did not forbid its use in any exam. After this, though, the rules were tightened up, and each calculator had to be certified as either non-programmable or programmable and memory cleared. Certificates had to be displayed on desks and well, it could be requested that the memory be cleared at the start of the exam. That's interesting. People using personal computers during tests. The world is changing. It's causing a bit of a stir on airplanes, I know that much. On the 16th of November, trading at the Milan Stock Exchange started late at 2:30 in the afternoon because the telematic system was down due to a power failure dating from the previous day. The day was bad for the market, with the stock index going down 2%. This is attributed to political uncertainties coinciding with the normally bearish period of the year and all kinds of other technical problems there. And here's something interesting concerning the legal system and computers. This comes from the New York Times. Craig Collins, a lawyer in San Mateo, California, used the West CD-ROM Library, a system that contains every court opinion published in California in the last 33 years on three compact discs, to research a parental rights case. Under penalty of perjury, he swore that he had devoted 22 hours, 10 of them over the 4th of July weekend, to writing several memorandums concerning the rights of step-parents in custody cases. At his normal rate of $225 an hour, that worked out to $4,950, part of his total tab of $9,591.50. The money was to come from the stepfather who lost the case, provided it was approved by Judge Roderick Duncan of the Alameda County Superior Court. That was not quite what happened. Indeed, after deconstructing the mechanics of modern computer research, Judge Duncan not only balked, but handed Mr. Collins to the Disciplinary Enforcement Section of the State Bar of California. Why, you may ask? Well, As it turned out, large portions of Mr. Collins' memorandums were copied directly from the court opinions, without attribution. Collins explained that he quoted the courts at length because their language was better written than I could have composed it myself. The court, however, found that 22 hours was rather extreme for cutting and pasting, since Mr. Collins was an experienced lawyer. At the hearing, William P. Epps II, the representative of the West Publishing Company, testified that Mr. Collins had used the system for a total of 9 hours and 33 minutes since he had purchased it. The witness, who was also a lawyer, testified that it seemed entirely plausible that Mr. Collins had put in the time he claimed. The judge was impressed by the witness's reasoning and withdrew his claim that Mr. Collins had not worked as long as he did. All those hours at the computer, the judge seemed to say, reflected inefficiency rather than dishonesty. Although disciplinary proceedings were dropped, Mr. Collins is still displeased with a judge who, in an interview, he described as a cavalier judicial maverick whose ill-considered opinions had periodically been criticized by the California Courts of Appeal. How did he know? He consulted his trusty CD-ROM and plugged in the words Duncan and Reversal. Yeah. Fascinating what people do with computers these days and how it's judged by the rest of us. And, of course, a lot of us might have read the paper over the past couple of days concerning a company on Long Island that was threatened by a Manhattan software company. They say the president of that company just wanted some insurance, but the way he went about getting that was to plant a virus in the Long Island company's computer. And that virus said, if you do not pay us the amount of money that you owe us, all of your files will be disrupted. Actually, the exact wording went like this. This system is locked by MJL Designs. This happened because you did not comply with the contract for payment. To unlock the system, please contact MJL Designs for password. Please be ready to fully pay us or system will not be unlocked. Any attempt to unlock system without the password will result in the loss of your data when computer is rebooted. Boy, that's what happens if you have a company install something for you and then you don't pay them quickly enough. The implications here are incredible. There was a whole big article about this in Newsday yesterday, and I was amazed. They didn't mention the word hacker anywhere. I was actually pleased. They managed to come up with a story about computer damage of some sort, and these people don't miraculously become hackers. It's something, you know. A couple of weeks ago, they had something in there about how somebody was able to listen to the Secretary of State's phone conversations on a cellular phone, and they described the person who eavesdropped on this public radio frequency as a hacker, as if nobody else could possibly figure out how to listen to a radio signal. I mean, those of you out there listening to this station now, I guess you're all hackers, too, in the eyes of Newsday, because you figured out how to tune to 99.5. Here's something out of today's paper. High-tech cameras installed in London to thwart the IRA. Yes, that's right. Police installed high-technology cameras around London's financial district to combat Irish Republican Army bombers. Last July, the police set up roadblocks after two giant bomb blasts by the IRA, which wants Britain to withdraw from Northern Ireland. The police are installing 26 cameras that can identify vehicle registration numbers as well as the drivers and front seat passengers. That's something. I mean, of course, you got this convenient terrorist group there that's going to be the excuse for all of this. But, wow, do you really think that after things get settled there in a few hundred years, they're going to take away the cameras? I don't know. I kind of doubt it. You know, once you put these Orwellian things in place, they tend to stick around. Now, I mean, caller ID is going to be here long after the last harassing phone call has been made. Here's something. The Prodigy Services Company, we all know and love, a computer online network that's a joint venture of IBM and Sears, has said that it will begin testing delivery of its service over cable television lines through Cox Cable Communications. The cable delivery would let subscribers use the service while freeing their telephone lines. Typically, access to online services, which deliver news, electronic mail, shopping, and other services to computer users, is by modem, which uses the telephone line. Prodigy service will be delivered through coaxial cable into subscribers' personal computers, resulting in a service 50 times faster than currently available through conventional phone lines. And Prodigy claims to be the largest computer online service, reaching well over 2 million users, but they have yet to turn a profit. That just keeps getting more and more interesting. We have something here which I kind of want to share with people, including you, Fiber Optic. Do you have any comments on what we've done so far?
Well, only about the computer virus thing.
Uh-huh. What do you think about that?
Well, it doesn't seem like anything original, at least something that that isn't exactly new to me. In fact, I remember in probably the early to mid-'80s when all sorts of software companies, mainly game publishers, were coming out with all sorts of wild and crazy copy protection schemes, mainly on Apple and Commodore computers. And there were rivalries between games publishers, at least that I remember on the Apple II, and 2 Plus and 2E.
Right.
Where there was actual, I guess you could call it, using today's terms, infection of people who had so-called illegal copies of certain games on certain people's, on their machine. And it's not an original idea, of course. Back then, it probably wasn't known too widely as a virus, but only as a program that... I even recall there were probably programs that would search on your hard drive, although hard drive owners probably weren't very common then either.
Oh, do you think this is going to become more prevalent in the future, people planting programs like this, especially commercial entities?
It's certainly likely. In fact, someone who you and I both know, a virus researcher, had written something about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at the last virus conference we were at 2 years ago, and he was raving about something similar. But it was basically along the lines of having not paid your bills, we've locked out your computer.
Well, now, I mean, I can understand a company saying, okay, you haven't paid for this service, we're going to take away the service. But where does it stand to reason that they have the right to mess with other things on your computer?
It certainly doesn't seem right, but I guess I don't know if there's any laws about things specifically like that. I'm
mm-hmm.
sure they can find some and make them fit.
Now, to those law enforcement people, legislators, all those do-gooders out there that are listening now, I mean that with all due respect. This is computer crime. This is what you tell people not to do and you punish people for doing. This is destruction. This is vandalism. This is invading somebody's privacy. And I don't know what's going to happen to the people that instigated something like this, if in fact that's what happened. Of course, it's all allegedly at this point. I don't want to pass judgment on anybody. But, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what the penalty for this is. Will it be as severe as fiber optics penalty for computer hacking? Will they get a year in jail, too? That's something that's, I don't know. It's worth thinking about.
Somehow I doubt that.
It doesn't seem likely because... I mean, you were being, you've been sentenced. No, it's not me. Who is it? It's you?
Yeah, it's
me. It's you, okay. There's a bunch of possibilities. You were being sentenced as a symbol. That's what the judge said. You weren't being sentenced really as a human. And it's really for doing things like you do on this program, speaking out, saying things, and that's unfortunately the way it works, I guess.
I wish I could send a symbol to serve my time.
Yeah, an icon of some sort, but it's just not done that way. I have something I want to share with both you and the audience that is kind of interesting. I'm going to show it to you across the room, okay, because look at that. Is that something?
Gee, that's very colorful, yeah.
That's very colorful, but each one of these is a cable TV channel.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, all right, because they have this system in Virginia now, all right, and it's something that, how many channels do we get here in New York?
Roughly 80.
80 channels.
Roughly, yeah.
This channel selector goes up to 119. And some of the channels here are very interesting. I mean, I haven't seen these in Manhattan or anyplace else, and it's kind of neat to think of what the future might hold, how many different services will be available. Of course, there's a lot missing from here, too, but just to give people an idea of what kinds of things to look forward to and what kinds of things you should be demanding and trying to seek out yourself. Okay, well, we'll just start with a brief channel guide, and feel free to butt in with any comments along the way. On channel 1, of course, you have your preview guide, which tells you all the premium and pay-per-view program listings. Channel 2 has your cable edition program updates, continuously updated program listings. So right away, you wipe out two channels there with video text scrolling. Channel 3 is entertainment television, that E-network.
Yeah.
Channel 4 is a local NBC affiliate. Channel 5 is a local Fox affiliate. Channel 6, top event. Previews and schedule information for pay-per-view features. This is, again, another video text thing. Nothing else on there. Channel 7, the ABC affiliate. Channel 8, it's just called News Channel 8. Local news, weather, sports, traffic, and more. Channel 9 is the local CBS affiliate. Channel 10 is the Fairfax Cable Access Corporation, award-winning public access programming that they offer you there. I don't know what happens on Channel 11. For some reason, that one's missing, although there was something on Channel 11, but I don't know quite what it was. Channel 12 is Fairfax City Government Channel. Do we have anything like that here?
Government Channel?
Government Channel?
I think we do.
Okay, probably your local legislature in action and other kinds of exciting things. Now, here's an interesting one. Channel 13 down there in Virginia. It's called the 4-in-1 Channel. Now, this is what they say here, and it's really kind of interesting. Watch CBS, NBC, ABC, and CNN on one channel simultaneously. Yeah. You might ask yourself, why in God's name would anybody want to watch all four of those networks at the same time? It's interesting during a major news event when one channel cuts in with something and one channel doesn't. You want to know who's cutting in. And so you watch this thing and you see somebody cut in and you tune to that channel. The audio switches from one to the other throughout, but it's an interesting concept. I've never really seen anything like that before. Okay, Channel 14 is now a home shopping network, and of course we know how important those are. Channel 15 was a station from Chicago, WGN. Channel 16 is another government station, Fairfax County Government, as opposed to Fairfax City Government. 24 hours a day of that. Channel 17 is TBS, Channel 18 is C-SPAN, Channel 19 is C-SPAN 2, Channel 20 is the local Paramount station. Channel 21, Fairfax County Public Schools. School-related programming, news-related announcements on what they call Red Apple 21. Then you have public TV on Channel 22. Then you have another access channel, Town of Herndon access channel, 100% volunteers. So you have a lot of public access here on this particular system. Here's another one, Channel 25, Fairfax County Public Schools, adult education, telecourses, instructional programming for students. Another PBS station on Channel 26, the local Washington, D.C. one. Okay, here's something interesting. Channel 27, Dulles Airport Channel. What do you think that is? Well, it's basically a screen of arrival and departure schedules. It's like you're at the airport, and you're able to look at that little screen. It comes right into your home, so you can see where airplanes are and when they're leaving and not leaving and that kind of thing. And then Channel 28 is the National Airport Channel, so you have two different airports there. And can find out everything you need to know without leaving your home. Channel 29, the Mega Tour of Homes, a video tour of new and resale properties throughout Northern Virginia. It's kind of like having a real estate agent at your beck and call all the time. Channel 31, the Dating Network, exclusive and confidential dating classified service. Channel 32, Howard University. Well, I guess a local low-power TV station for that. Channel 34, Washington Checkbook, Consumer Information Service Programming. Channel 35, Information on Cue. Not quite sure what that is. Information on Operations and Services plus Community Activities. Sounds like another one of those video text channels. Channel 37, Fairfax Access Network, Interactive Bulletin Board and Community-Oriented Programming. Not quite sure how that works either. Channel 38, Falls Church City Television. It's another local station there. Channel 39, Nostalgia Television. That's one of those networks. Then we skip all the way up to 44 for some reason. But there are things on those other channels. They might be pay-per-view or something. Fairfax County Public Library. You know how interesting that could be with library programs. Channel 46, this is interesting, international service, foreign programming, including Korean, Japanese, Chinese, Filipino, Vietnamese, Hindi, French, and Hebrew. Channel 47, Arab language programming featuring BBC News, documentaries, and Arabic language courses. That's something we don't have enough of in this country is foreign television, foreign TV stations. Everybody over in Europe gets CNN. They all get our programming as we produce it and crank it out, and they get it subtitled and all, but we don't get enough from there. When's the last time you saw a TV program from France, you know, or from Yugoslavia or something? You just don't. You have to really search long and hard for these things. Channel 48, George Mason University. Channel 49, Northern Virginia Community College. Channel 50 is the local Channel 50 out there. Channel 52 is another independent station. Channel 53 is a PBS station. Channel 56 is another PBS station. Channel 57, Black Entertainment Television. Channel 58, Univision, Spanish language. Channel 59, Telemundo, another Spanish network. Channel 63, Comedy Central. This is exciting, isn't it? Well, I think it's exciting because we're looking at what other people in other parts of the country are getting. And it just seems like an awful lot that we're not getting here. I don't know if we need so many public access channels, especially if they all are city government and colleges and things like that. But at least you can see the potential here. Channel 64, Nickelodeon. Channel 65, Disney Channel. Here's where it gets interesting. Channel 66 is called Showtime 2, and Channel 67 is Showtime 1. They have two Showtimes for some reason. It's not like a West Coast feed or something like that. It's two different channels. Channel 68, American Movie Classics. Channel 69, The Family Channel. Channel 70, Arts and Entertainment. Channel 71, Bravo. Channel 72, HBO 2. Channel 73, HBO 3. And Channel 74, HBO. They get three different HBOs. I mean, God, we're living in the 18th century here. We only get one. People in Virginia, I don't know. They're no better than we are. Then you have on Channel 75, the USA Network. Channel 76, Cinemax. 77, you guessed it, Cinemax 2. 78, Headline News. 79, Lifetime. 80, CNN. 81, Movie Channel. 82, The Fashion Channel. 83, Home Shopping Club. 84, QVC. 85, ESPN. 86, Home Team Sports. Then you have all these pay TV channels all the way up to 96. I can't believe we're up to 96. The Discovery Channel on Channel 96. Channel 97, The Learning Channel. 98, CNBC. 99, The Sci-Fi Channel. It's one of your favorites, right?
We don't get it in New York.
No, for some reason we don't. Channel 100, Turner Network Television. Channel 101, The Weather Channel. Radar Weather on Channel 102. 105 is Court TV. 106, The Travel Channel. 108, MOR Music. 24 hours of music videos from top artists of the 50s through the 90s, plus CD and cassette sales. Yeah, Channel 109, The Nashville Network. 110, VH1. 111, Country Music Television. 112, MTV. 115, Trinity Broadcasting. 116, The Faith and Values Channel. 117, The New Inspirational Network. 118, The Catholic Cable Network. And, finally, 119, Story Vision Network. Computer-generated storybooks for children to read 24 hours a day. I don't know why children would be reading stories 24 hours a day, but they have it up there in case they're up at 5 in the morning. Whew. Well, I don't know. There's a lot here. And when you consider that we're talking about 500 channels on the information highway, well, we're already a fifth of the way there, more than that, according to this cable system. And I don't know. You know, there's a lot of repetition, a lot of redundancy, and I guess not much on in the long run when you actually go through all these channels. I mean, how do you go through 119 channels to find out what's on? Yeah, you need a bunch of those preview channels. You don't just use one. You use three of them to find out not only what's on, but where it is. How do you get to it? How do you navigate to it? It's like, you know, plotting a course. I don't know. You think Manhattan will get this advanced in the near future?
I don't think so, no. We don't even get the Sci-Fi channel.
Well, yeah, that's your pet peeve, but but apart from that,
well, I think that we're heading towards a direction of taking all the buttons off the stupid remote control clicker,
mm-hmm.
and heading towards some sort of graphical user interface where someone basically rolls a little pointer around on the screen. And since there's so many channels, they're going to have to group them according to category.
Like tuning a satellite almost.
Yeah.
Actually, this guide looks like a satellite guide now. This is the cable TV. This is what everybody gets in this particular town. And it's thicker than most magazines. And it comes out once a month. And you really have to navigate your way around. it's incredible. I mean, a single day's channel listings takes multiple pages because there's just so many channels.
Think of all the trees.
I don't know how you find anything like this. Unbelievable. Three HBOs. What do you do with three HBOs? I mean, it's bad enough you have to choose between HBO and Showtime, which are pretty much the same anyway. But now you have to choose between three of the same? I don't know. It seems like we just don't know what to do with all these channels, and we're filling it up with redundancy. And I'd like to hear suggestions for some creative things. What would you do with a cable TV channel if you had one?
Me, personally?
I would put off the hook on TV, I guess, but what else?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't think I was ever faced with that question.
How about interactive video games?
That's a thought.
I think they had a channel down there that you could play Pong with.
Really?
Yeah. We're sort of going back into the 70s here, but yeah, you could call up a special, I think, 900 number, only $2.50 a minute or something like that, and you can play Pong with the local computer or something.
They've had experimental channels on public access here where you could call up and draw things on the screen with your touchtone keypad.
And there's a market for that kind of thing.
I don't know. It was pretty much a toy, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't anything you had to pay for.
Well, they also have a video jukebox in some places where you actually call up and punch in a video that you want to see, and it shows up, and the whole city gets to see it. And you get to pay for the call, something like $3 or something like that. So that's where cable TV is heading in some parts of the world. Be interesting to see where it heads here. But, you know, the only way it's going to head anywhere is if people voice their opinions and say what they want. Same thing with the phone company. Same thing with an online service. It's going to do whatever it wants to do unless people say otherwise. So with this, as well as with all other technologies, you have to be vocal. You have to express yourself. And that's the only hope you have of seeing something worthwhile. I mean, myself, I want to see people have hands-on access to the technology. I want to see everybody be able to play with something the equivalent of the video toaster where they can simply create their own programming. And there are a lot of talented people out there that simply do not have access. Now, WBAI is a perfect example of this. We're a radio station that provides access to people that ordinarily would not be able to certainly get on commercial radio and say the things they say. I mean, I'd never have that opportunity ordinarily to get on FM radio and say these kinds of things. WBAI is here for the community. And that's what cable TV should be as well, here for the community, not just a profit-making venture. All right, that being said, our phone lines are open, 632. I'm sorry, no, that's the wrong number. 279, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong mode here. 279-3400, area code 212. And it's 26 minutes after 10 o'clock. We're here at Fiber Optic. The program is off the hook. We're talking about well, virtually all kinds of things, whether it be computer viruses being planted, hackers being sent to prison, the future of cable TV, the future of technology in general, whatever else happens to be on your mind here. Fiber, we tried to figure out how many programs you have before you have to be sent away. What date is it that you have to go?
January 7th.
It's not much time then, because I think this is the last show we'll have in November. And let's assume there's 4 weeks in December, so there's only five more shows, which will go by very quickly. So if you have any questions for Fiber, now is a good time to ask them. 279-3400, area code 212. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, a cookout. You're being invited. I want to plan a cookout and be invited.
Yeah?
All right. Enough of that. Good evening. Hello? Okay. Let me explain. You have to talk when I pick up the phone. That's very important. Good evening.
Hi, I'd like to shed a little light on maybe what all the repetitive HBOs and Showtimes are.
Oh, great, okay.
This is a maybe. HBO has recently launched something called HBO en Español.
This is not that. I know what you're talking about, where I think it's through a subcarrier or something. They provide audio in Spanish?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's something they're providing, but that's not what they're providing here. It's three different HBO channels. Yeah, and they might all have the Spanish subtitles in addition to that, or Spanish, you know, voiceovers.
Hmm. All right.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Just to give you an example here. Okay, I'll look at something here. Let's go to September. It's so hard to read this thing. I don't even know what date I'm looking at. It's some day in September. Oh, September 19th. Okay, Sunday, September 19th. At 10 o'clock in the morning, all right, on HBO, we had the Sports Swimsuit USA special, and on HBO 2, we had Marathon Man. On HBO 3, we had Best Defense. So three totally different programs there, all in English. And, yeah, that's what the people want. Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
How you doing?
I was wondering, what is your concept of what is being said on WBAI that is not being said elsewhere? I find that while it's very difficult to get through when you sort of decide to call into ABC and so forth, that, you know, there's so many callers, that, I mean, between penises that are being cut off, between older men that are making love to younger women, Amy Fisher and Buddy Foucault, between governments governors and 13 or 14 year old youngsters who are saying their mothers are honest because they know.
Are you coming to a comma in your sentence soon, please?
Huh?
I hope you're coming to the comma in your sentence.
The point is, I don't know what I don't know how to say it. Between hosts that are difficult, you know, I don't know what's there to say anymore. There's so much corruption around in this world, and so much double dealing, and so much nastiness and so forth that it's not limited to any one place.
I have to agree. I really don't know either. Good evening.
Oh, yeah. You know what's strange? I've been trying to get through for I don't know how long about a cable TV question.
Okay.
And finally you're talking about cable TV.
Well, it's one of those things, a sign from the heavens, if you will.
Ah, it must be. My question, it has to do, I have cable, it has to do with pay-per-view. On my cable system, I turned to channel 24.
Mm-hmm.
I call this special 800 number, and when I hang up the phone, lo and behold, there's the thing that I ordered. Now I'm wondering how that works. Do they have some sort of a caller ID that they know that, I'm calling them up? How does it get on my...
Well, they're using ANI technology. Basically, they're getting your phone number through the 800 number.
Uh-huh.
Did they use that here?
I think they may.
Yeah, I think they use that too. I know it's been used quite a bit in other parts of the country, particularly this system in Virginia. I know has been using it for years. And basically, they take your number when you call the 800 number and basically give you whatever you ask for on that. And the way ANI works, it basically takes whatever number is calling it. Now, I think if we use call forwarding, though, you can fool the ANI. Is that right?
Yeah, but not only that. I mean, they basically have the ID that's inside the firmware
mm-hmm.
in your cable box registered under your name. So when you call in and it gets your ANI information, it cross-references the number you're calling from. If it's just doing it straight like that, I mean, usually I would think you'd have to verify by keying in something.
Is there some kind of verification?
No, they just, when I call, I hear a recording. They say your order has been confirmed. Please hang up. And when I hang up, I'd say like 2 seconds later, the scrambled wiggly lines are gone and there's the event.
Do you have the 800 number with you?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I could turn to the channel. Let's see if they have it.
Okay. Let's see what happens if we call it and see if we can order programming here at BAI for some reason.
They're showing some event, that upcoming event. They're not showing the 800 number right
okay.
now.
Okay, well, I guess that's our misfortune then.
If I get through again, because this new phone system is the, I know it's not your guys' fault, but it's the worst,
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You're talking about where you can only ring for about 50 times and then the phone company disconnects you. There's nothing we can do about it, unfortunately.
I thought that was going to happen tonight, but you picked up, like just in the nick of time.
Yeah. Well, in some ways, I guess it's more fair for people that can't dial as fast because there's more of a chance, at least, that they'll get through at some point. It used to be in the past, people with motor fingers would be able to call before anybody else was able to. And, of course, they knew the number, too.
Yeah.
And they stayed on forever, and they always got through.
And it doesn't help. I don't have redial on this phone either, so I sort of have to have motor fingers, too, when you say to, call. That's when I'm like, my finger's moving like crazy.
Yeah, well, you got to be prepared for the 90s. This is what it's all about, Every phone call is a potential combative situation. You have to be prepared to receive the person's phone number and know what to do or pick up the phone or call back or call the police or what. And the same thing with calling into a show like this. You have to have your speed dials and your redials and everything else all ready to go.
Yeah, so before I go, just this ANI, it's all automatically done, like there's no little person there looking at what my number is and then they push a button and then the show comes on. It's all done automatically.
Sounds like it's all done completely automatically.
Yeah, I don't think there's any little person looking at anything over there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, well, you answered that question for me. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling. This is interesting. I'm looking in the Virginia book here, and Fiber, I'm going to show you this, the phone number that you call to get an event. Look at that phone number. Read it out loud and tell us what it is. And
gee, I would think they made a mistake.
No, they didn't make a mistake. They did it like that deliberately. Read it the way they have it and then tell us the way it really is.
It says 103-800.
Now, that's the number you call. I guess it gets the feeling that you're calling an 800 number, but you dial 103-800. Now, what is that really?
Oh, actually, now if I look at that a different way, it's actually 10380 and then 0.
Right. It's a carrier access code.
Yeah.
10380 and then 0 for operator.
Yep.
And that's the equivalent of calling the 800 number this caller was talking about. And you're able to order things in that particular way. How do you think they're doing that?
Well, same way. ANI provided through Equal Access.
Mm-hmm. And why would that be preferable than using an 800 number?
I don't think it really makes a difference.
Less digits, though.
That's true. So if anything, it's probably simpler for people to remember rather than having to remember a whole 800 number.
Certainly true. Speaking of 800 numbers, I've got a really interesting 800 number here that I want to share with the people. And I think you'll find this rather amusing. I'll just leave it at that, because AT&T, of course, gets a lot of phone calls. Awful lot of phone calls. And you have to wonder, what happens to those people whose telephone numbers are similar to AT&T's phone number? You know, you ever wonder about that? If you happen to have the same number as AT&T, except in a different area code, or even the same ending to your phone number as AT&T, with a totally different exchange, well, maybe you'll get all kinds of weird phone calls. Now, this poor company that we're about to hear has the misfortune of having not only the last four digits of one of AT&T's most popular numbers, but also the first three digits of another one of AT&T's most popular numbers, and all this on an 800 line. Basically, there are two phone numbers that AT&T uses an awful lot, actually quite a few, but the customer service numbers are in the 222 exchange. To reach residential customer service, you would dial 1-800-222-0300. Business would be 1-800-222-0400. Now, okay, so you got that 222 part. That happens to be this poor company's exchange. Now, you have this other number which allows you access to an AT&T operator. When you can't get an AT&T operator directly, you call this 800 number, which is 1-800-321-0288. So you have the 0288 part. Now, what this poor company has is a mixture, a hybrid of those two phone numbers. They have 1-800-222-0288. Now, we're going to dial that number. Listen to what these poor people have to do.
Thank you for calling. If you are calling for American Futures Group, press 1. If you are calling for AT&T calling card or operator-handled calls, press 2.
Let's do that.
The number you have dialed, 800-222-0288 for AT&T calling card or operator-handled calls, is incorrect. The correct number for AT&T calling card or operator-handled calls is 800-321-0288. Again, 800-321-0288. Thank you.
Oh, I don't know about that. This poor guy, he sounds kind of a little bit perturbed there. But imagine, this company has to pay for all these calls to their 800 number that are meant for AT&T, and so much to the degree that they actually have to set up half of their voicemail system to be routed for those people that dial a wrong number, a specific wrong number. I mean, that's the most incredible thing I've heard in quite a while. I wonder, do you think AT&T gives them some compensation for that?
Somehow, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. If I was that company, I would put on a rather derogatory message about AT&T for people that press 2 and explain to them why they should use another company. But that's just me. All right, let's go to the phones. Good evening, you're on.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, Emmanuel?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, hi. I'd like to say a couple of quick things.
Okay.
Number one, I really enjoyed the show. I think it's very, very good. I'm going to miss having fiber optics commentaries there.
Well, you have them for 5 more weeks.
Okay, yeah.
And then the feds have them for a year.
couple of quick questions. Can you say what was that thing you played at the beginning of the show about the voicemail at the Kremlin? Number two, I have a question about answering machine type thing. I had a message on my machine recently when I came home, and I thought maybe you might be able to explain what it was. What it was is, first, a kind of a silent pause, and then sound of like a number being dialed, like you sometimes hear when you're doing a long distance call, like beep 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 beep.
MF tones. Yes.
Then somebody picked up.
Uh huh.
Like it was ringing a phone, and somebody said, "Hello, Board of Education. Hello, anyone
uh-huh.
there?" As if somebody was calling them from my answering machine.
Really?
It's truly bizarre.
You got this on your answering machine.
I'm sorry?
You got this on your answering machine.
Yeah.
A bunch of MF tones and then a connection to the Board of Education.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody was making a call to them and somehow this got recorded on my machine.
Did the other person speak at all?
What other person?
The person that was allegedly calling the Board of Education.
No, there's no voice or anything.
So
no other voice.
Did you hear only one side of the conversation, or did the person that said Board of Education not hear anything either?
That person apparently didn't hear anything because they were going, "Hello, is anyone there?"
Okay, yeah. That's weird. It could be anything from somebody three-waying and playing a joke on you to a cross line of some sort. I mean, I hate to say things like that because that's the most ignorant of all explanations.
I highly doubt that it would be a joke. I mean,
were the MF tones loud or way in the background?
Kind of soft.
Uh-huh. I mean, it could have been a cable and wireless connection. They use those MF tones all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been an 800 number of some sort. It's hard to say, but unless it happens a lot, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, no, it's the only time it's ever happened, but I thought maybe you might be able to...
It's one of those strange phone things that happen.
Well, one other quick thing about the 500-channel televisions. I've heard some commentary, maybe you can comment on this, that it's likely that most of the channels are going to be retail-type channels, like stores,
mm-hmm.
having their own channel, like the Macy's channel and the...
Oh, that's just great. That's wonderful.
So
we don't have to leave our house to go to the mall now, do we?
Yeah, that's, I think, kind of really revolting, actually, the whole idea of it, to turn on my TV and see 150 channels of every different department store in the country.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I should direct people to today's New York Times. There's a fairly good editorial piece in today's New York Times written by a couple of people from the Electronic Frontier Foundation where they kind of define what this whole information superhighway should be and the fact that we should have access to it in various ways, all of which are not, you know, incredibly difficult for us to attain. Obviously, to avoid things like Macy's channels and just the same old garbage over and over again in ever-expanding ways.
Shopping channels.
Yeah, we need access of our own. We need to be able to create our own programming, our own innovation, and basically define the rules ourselves. Let it flow the way... I mean, imagine if the way books were written had to fall into a very, very strict set of guidelines. I know for a lot of authors it already does, but... I'm saying imagine if it was impossible to even print something and distribute it unless it was approved and went through the proper channels. It would make life very boring and dull. Now, we have to apply the same logic to video and to cable. We have to allow people access. Actually, you know, allowing people access is kind of, I don't like that phrase because, of course, people have access. What we're doing by not allowing them access is restricting access. So I guess what I'm saying is we should stop restricting access. Okay? All right.
Hopefully this can be done. I don't know exactly how because it doesn't seem to be any kind of political movement afoot to have democratic controls over this so-called information highway that's going to be coming about.
Well, I mean, that comes with involvement. Obviously, a lot of us have to take some interest in what's happening here because there's a lot of changes. Technology is moving very, very quickly, and a lot of us don't understand it. We don't want to be bothered with it. We want to let somebody else make the decisions. That's the worst thing we can do.
You mentioned this Frontiers group. What is that about?
Electronic Frontier Foundation is a group. Now they're headquartered in Washington, D.C., and they... They cover a lot of legislative issues concerning computer freedom and new technology, things like that. A couple of things that they mentioned in this particular article in today's Times were encryption, the people's right to encrypt whatever it is they feel like encrypting, and, of course, access, people having the right to create their own programming. That's something very important. I really feel very strongly about that, because imagine if... a station like this didn't exist, and we just had to listen to, you know, Hot 90 whatever all the time.
The Rush Limbaugh channel.
Yeah, and people with the money, people with the connections, people with, you know, the agents and the syndication rights and all that. Yeah, we hear them everywhere. Everywhere we went, we hear the same thing. At least with a station like this, you can hear something different, something unpredictable. And yeah, things that will make you mad sometimes, but, you know, that's life.
Yeah, well, I'm usually not made mad by BAI. I find it comforting in a way because I know that there's other people out there thinking the way I do.
Uh-huh. But I don't think there's anybody out there that can listen to BAI and agree with everything they hear.
Oh, not everything.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's totally impossible, and nor should it be possible, because it's like BAI is like its own individual creation here, and there's nothing like it anywhere.
Right. Well, let me get going. I really appreciate your comments. And what was that thing at the beginning about the Kremlin?
Oh, that's just an ongoing promo we have running. I'll play it at the end of the show again if you want to hear it. I'd be happy to do that.
I couldn't hear.
It's an ongoing BAI type of thing. You know, it's just a generic BAI promo of some sort.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
I see.
But we'll play it again at the end of the show, and you can listen to it.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay. 212-279-3400. Our telephone number. The program is Off the Hook. We're here with Fiber Optic until 11 o'clock, taking questions, comments, whatever, about cable TV, computer systems, telephone systems, hackers, and whatever else may happen. Good evening.
Hello, yes. Great show, like always.
Thank you.
I have a question about caller ID.
Okay.
What kind of signal is transmitted to them? What do they look for? Is it touch tone or is it some kind of other signal?
Fiber?
It's modulated data. I don't know if that makes much sense to you. It's 1200 baud half duplex data, similar to modem data.
Okay, all right.
And if you listen, if you're somehow able to listen to your ring pulses by tapping into your line somehow, you will hear that data being sent between the first and second rings. It takes half a second, less even, for all that information to be passed on.
Uh-huh.
It'll basically sound like a little burst of noise.
Yeah.
Thank you. I have another quick question. Did you ever hear about StarSite?
I'm sorry?
StarSite.
StarSite?
Yeah, it's a new, like, TV guide system that Zenith is experimenting with.
How does it work?
It works by, it's a subscription that you subscribe to, and you have a gadget that hooks up to your TV. And each time you tune to a channel, it tells you what the name of the program and how much time left and who's starring and something about the story of the program.
Oh, really? So it's a way to find out what's on.
Yeah, and also you can list all the programs for that week on sports or news or entertainment, comedy, and stuff like that. You can sort.
Uh-huh. I always wanted a system where you know, through a magazine of some sort, you could find things by program, because who really cares about the channel? You know, it's, I mean, if you're going to watch Star Trek on one channel or another, it doesn't really matter, does it? But you want to know what episode is going to be on and where you can find it.
Well yeah. This is,
or what film is going to be on someplace and where to find it. But I don't think anybody's created something like that.
I think Zenith just, they have it on test now. I went to a seminar like a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned it, that they have it on test. And also the good thing about it is that it hooks up to your VCR and it records shows easier than VCR Plus.
Really?
Yeah. But it requires subscription of about $3-4 a week.
That's pretty expensive just to find out what's going on.
They say it's similar to what the TV guide costs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, no, TV Guide doesn't cost $4 a week.
I mean, I meant in a month, sorry. I meant in a month.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a little bit different. Yeah. I mean, VCR Plus it doesn't cost anything. Of course, you pay for it, I guess, with you know, with VCRs that are capable of it, but you don't pay a weekly or a monthly fee.
Right, but TV Guide itself, if you buy TV Guide to find out what's on, it costs somewhat.
Well, you do need TV Guide to get the codes for VCR Plus.
Actually, almost
but
any newspaper has it.
But this one doesn't need any codes. It automatically knows.
Uh-huh. All right, well, thanks for the information.
You're welcome.
Okay. 212-279-3400. Good evening.
Yeah, I want to find out, one of my pet peeves is about the telephone company, which I'm on an old dial system. Now, everything is converted to the push button for that push button telephone.
Oh yes.
I don't see the reason for it, since it's not a vast cost as far as they're concerned. In fact, it's not a cost.
It's not a cost at all. Yes, you've latched onto one of my pet peeves, which is the touch tone fee, which is an absolutely absurd fee.
And
should not be charged at all.
You said something about being active as far as doing something. And what do you do about it? What agency oversees the telephone company?
The Public Service Commission oversees New York Telephone.
Public Service.
And what's important is next time they have a rate hearing, which happens about once or twice a year, you go down there. Of course, they put them in hard-to-find places at inconvenient times of the day.
Yeah.
But it's also possible to write letters and have those included in the records as well, or just to write letters to your newspapers. The thing is, get people involved, get people aware of this. You've taken a step by calling us here tonight, and you've probably gotten a few people aware of the fact that there is really no service provided for that fee they charge you. It's an antiquated fee. Back in the early 60s when they first introduced Touchtone, of course, they had to have some equipment to deal with it. But today, it's built into everything, and the only thing they're capable of doing is denying your tones access to the network, which is totally unfair, and it really hurts them in the long run because, obviously, your calls are completed faster.
Yeah, unfortunately, that public service, the standard joke among people that I've always talked with is that it's a public disservice.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have a hard time with things, too. But again, they're directly answerable to us, and if enough of us speak out. You see, I've gone to a couple of these phone company hearings, and unfortunately, they're very sparsely attended.
Yeah.
And if that wasn't so, if they were overflowing into the hallways and people were angry and they you know were talking in loud voices and making sure that people understood what they were saying, they just might have a different impression of it.
Right.
That's very important. I can't stress that enough.
So you're saying that participation actually is what.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the only way, you know. I mean, I know it's difficult. I know the benefits don't pay off right away, but I mean, there's no other way.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And the only other way is to do it better, but how are we going to start up a phone company to rival New York Telephone like this and get somewhere? It takes a long time. Good evening.
Hi. A few things I just thought I'd mention. Mark Alansky case that just went down.
Yeah, update us on that. There was some action on that.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'm up here a little ways, and reception's a little bit fuzzy. I got Fiber's post on Echo, and decided to go check it out. There's also that, when you were talking about the editorial in the Times today, maybe people should check out the Mitch Kapoor's article in Wired a couple of months ago.
Uh-huh.
There was stuff about, just about the net and how it should be more democratic about how people have access and, you know, like you're saying, give like the regular person access for without a great cost.
Right.
I don't know if you guys found out, but America Online went 9,600 today.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Whoop-de-doo.
Wow, that puts them, what, about 5 years behind everybody else?
There's a few years behind everybody else, but still they're there now. It just makes things go a little bit faster. At least you're not online so long.
And no doubt there's a formidable surcharge for that access, right?
Charge for it. That's the other thing. Another thing I noticed about them, a few months ago they had a party just to announce that they were going to get all these internet services and go up to 9,600 baud.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little bit, you know. I know they're all ripping us off, but heck, the bash they had at the Hard Rock Cafe was like pretty decent.
Wow, that's something. I don't really know why anybody would choose a commercial enterprise like America Online, Prodigy, Genie, whatever those are, over something like the ones we have here in the city.
Oh, I understand that. Well, if you can't get the ones you can get in the city, you know.
Well, I mean, everybody in the city can get the ones in the city, you see. That's what I'm talking about. And through that, you can get access to the true internet. You can get internet mailbox.
Right.
And it's as simple as that. And Fiber works for one. I don't want to push one more than any other, but there are several. There's Echo, there's Mindvox, there's Panix.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there are any others, but there probably are, and we'll certainly give them publicity when they come across. For now, look in the phone book. I'm sure you'll find them.
Yeah, no, I know where they are. I've got access, you know, through another commercial enterprise that you didn't mention before, and they're really slow. You know, it's kind of a drag trying to log on to them, and they get bogged down.
You must be talking about CompuServe, right?
No. I'm talking about Delphi.
Oh, yeah, Delphi. How can I forget them?
Well, they're the ones who have good amount of internet access, and they're they get kind of slow mostly because of what's bogged down on their network and stuff, and it's not really... Another thing you should mention about is PGP.
Okay.
You know, it's... Some people call it pretty good prison. Others call it pretty good protection. What about the deal with the... something with him exporting the software, although he had no intention to do it, you know? And now he's got the State Department down on him?
Well, that's an ongoing saga. Phil Zimmerman has these problems with the PGP encryption program because the government is kind of concerned about encrypting, what is it, encryption overseas in foreign countries?
Basically, the federal laws in the United States governing encryption deal with encryption as if it were a weapon or a firearm. And basically, there are laws against exporting encryption to other countries.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of paranoia that stems from the Cold War and is very hard to extinguish.
Yeah.
So now you said something about the Alansky case.
Oh yeah, they I don't know if you read the last CUD, but in there was a little blurb about him getting 26 months.
And this is for publishing information on how to build a bomb, is that correct?
Yeah. But he's had some other stuff going on there. I think that the Hartford police were, like, really after him.
Uh-huh.
You know, for other things that he did, because he was on probation for a while. Well, something strange that I read in there was that some of the terms of his probation were that he didn't allow people under 18 to get onto his bulletin board, and he let some police officer have total access to his board.
Was the police officer under 18?
I guess not. I mean,
yeah.
But you know, the thing is that, you know, for those to be kinds of terms of probation seems to be kind of like cruel and unusual.
Well, just kind of weird, if you ask me.
Well,
we'll try to get something for next week on that. We'll try to get the full update on that particular story, because that certainly is a bizarre one. But for now, we're out of time. Thank you for your call.
Take care.
Okay. And, God, that hour went by pretty quickly, didn't it? Any last words, Fiber?
Live long and prosper.
Yeah, I guess that's good for just about anybody. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Off the Hook. I'll be looking at the developments, the ever-changing developments in computers and telephones. You know, it's going to be a totally different world in just another week, because that's how quickly everything is moving. So keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, play around with things, and learn what you can, and get back to us and tell us what you found out. Emmanuel Goldstein saying, have a happy Thanksgiving and good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get my brush, but if they could, they would. So Billy Bond for the best, the best, the worst.
You have reached the Kremlin. In order to report the unconstitutional suspension of a legally elected parliament, press 1. In order to report the bloody suppression of resistance to the unconstitutional suspension of a legally elected parliament, press 2. In order to report the unanimous support of the unconstitutional suspension of a legally elected parliament by the morally bankrupt leadership of the Western democracies, press 3. For all of the above, press 4. You have selected option 4, all of the above. All of our unprincipled collaborators with Western business interests are busy right now. Please wait until the regime has had time to consolidate its power and try your call again.
Good evening. In the news tonight, there's movement in Haiti and a possible break in the stalemate. 4 homeless men in San Francisco fight for their rights, And in New York, after years of public pressure, the police department finally bans the use of the chokehold to subdue criminal suspects. With these and other stories, I'm Jose Santiago in New York with Verna A.B. Brown in Washington, and this is the news for Wednesday, November 24, 1993. First to Washington for these headlines topping the news.
The first United Nations food shipments in a month made their way to central Bosnia today, and three other relief convoys reached Muslim enclaves in eastern Bosnia. The aid shipments have taken on new urgency with the early arrival of winter in the former Yugoslavia. UN convoys to central Bosnia were suspended 4 weeks ago after a Danish driver of an aid truck was shot to death. On a voice vote, the Senate passed the Brady Bill today. The bill calls for a 5-day waiting period for handgun purchases. The bill had been caught up in a partisan battle over how many years the law would be in effect, pending the development of a nationwide computer system to facilitate background checks on gun buyers. Republicans vow to introduce legislation to modify the Brady Bill when the next congressional session begins in January. Three prominent journalism and freedom of information groups filed an emergency motion in court today calling for the immediate release of independent counsel Lawrence Welsh's final report on the Iran-Contra scandal. The report has been sealed since Walsh submitted it in August. Peter Kornbluh is a senior analyst with the National Security Archives.
At this point, the public's final right to know about the Iran-Contra scandal, to get the full story of the scandal, is in jeopardy. The threat of suppression hangs over the Walsh report at this point, and it portends the ultimate Iran-Contra cover-up.
Recent reports indicate that many leading players in the Iran-Contra scandal plan to file motions to suppress Walsh's findings. Tomorrow marks the 7th anniversary of the Iran-Contra scandal, the day when President Reagan and Attorney General Edwin Meese announced the discovery of a memo in Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North's files. That document revealed a connection between the arms for hostage deal in Iran and the illegal operation to arm the Contras in Nicaragua. Israeli troops today killed a Palestinian man considered to be their most wanted fugitive in the Gaza Strip.